Bibles, and I would like you, please, to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Here they come. They're coming out of woodwork. That's a nice group tonight. Matthew chapter 9. I know I told you Matthew, but I want you to think of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." In Ephesians, one of the sub-themes or themes of the book of Ephesians is Christ is the head of the church. And it's all about the church and different things. And in this verse that I just quoted, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, Christians, we ought to be growing. We ought to be growing into Christ. Our relationship ought to be maturing. We ought to be more connected with each and every passing week, month of our life. We ought to be growing deeper in the Lord Jesus Christ, deeper in love, and just be connected to Christ in a deep way. I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, and let me get there, please. And I want you to look at verse 29. Matthew 9. I want you to look at verse 29. "Then Jesus then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your," what? So, "as I have faith, according to your faith, be it unto you." In other words, the Lord's going to help me to grow according to my faith. We touched on that in the Sunday services, that we need to have faith to overcome the world and faith in these different areas. But faith is the key that unlocks the spiritual power. It's the transfer point. It's that which connects us to God. And without faith, it's impossible for us to mature and grow and please God. And we know all this. It's not just academically knowing truths. It's the application by faith with the Lord. We step out on the truths that we know, and we're growing more on them. You know, there are things, I've been saved now for well over 50 years, and there are things that I'm learning in my life. And as I learn them, even though I'm older than I used to be, I step out still, and I'm trying to trust God to help me stretch out in areas of my life. I'm stepping out in new things and areas of our life. Do you realize Moses went through 40, three sets of 40 years? He lived 120 years. First 40 years, God did such and such. Another 40 years, God did such and such. Another 40 years, he led those rebellious children of Israel. How old was he? 80 to 120 years old. He was out there walking by faith in that wilderness. I'd be in the nursing home. You know, he's out there serving God. Who says because you get to be a certain age or you've been saved long enough that you don't have to have as much faith anymore? I mean, it takes more faith. And God's ramping up your faith, and he's teaching you in your spiritual walk. So with that as our background, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, help us tonight that we would grow in our Christian life. And tonight as we look at different areas that we can apply our faith in, may you help us, Father, to truly grow in those things. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure how far I'll get tonight. I hope you're taking notes. In our high school, in junior high, we require the kids to take notes and grade them. So I'm going to grade notes afterwards tonight and see who gets an A+. And I'm not going to do that. But do you know that's one of the things we do in the bulletin? Where's the bulletin? Years and years ago, people said, "I'd sure like a way to take some notes." And so we take this valuable room in the bulletin, and we leave it for you to take notes. And I know a few people over the years that file these, and they just use them just like that. Some people file them like this, some just rip them out, and they write, and they have some different things like that. One lady showed me what she does. It has speaker, it has the title. She files it by text. So today you might file it under Matthew chapter 9 or under the title of faith. And I tell you, these things would help you. Are you taking notes? Are you scarfing up? Are you studying to show yourself approved? Are you storing up that which God gives? Did you come to get your cup filled? A few of you did. Yes, I'm glad some of you did. All right. So Tonight we're going to begin, if not get as far as we can, through 12 things that a faith mixed with will help us to grow with. Psalm 56, please. Turn there, please. Psalm 56. I'd like to have us turn. I can't hear electronic Bibles turn, but I can hear the paper ones. That's pastor's special music, because the page is turning in the Bible. Psalm 56, verse 11. Let's read it out loud together. When you get there, you ready? Psalm 56, we're ready to go? Here we go. Psalm 56, 11, read with me. In God, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. First area that we need to grow in is to have an absolute, full trust in God. You know, there's a lot of verses that we can look at in the Bible, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart, all your heart. The point we're making tonight is that we need to learn to trust God fully, completely, all the way, absolutely. Don't hold back anything. And what does the verse say to us tonight as we read that 56:11? In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid. In this case, it says, what man can do unto me. The fear of man often keeps us from stepping out and obeying God. The fear of failure. The fear of the unknown. There are a lot of fears. We could messages on fear. But when you trust the Lord, and that trust is based on experience, I've trusted God in small things, he didn't fail me. I trust him in a bigger thing, he didn't fail me. I trusted God in bigger things, he didn't fail me. Listen, Christians, learn to step out bigger, stronger, earlier. Don't hold back. If God is in it and he tells you to do it, learn to just say, I know this is from God. It's confirmed. I'm not just sort of got a, you know, I just got sort of worked up when the preacher preached. I know God's telling me to trust him. Then step out fully. One of the favorite verses for many new Christians, Philippians 4:13. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And once again, I can do what? How many things? Yeah. See, it's a complete trust in all areas of our life. Money, health, places we live, relationships, known and unknown. You fill in the gaps tonight. The Lord wants us to learn to trust in the Lord and not be afraid what people will do. I could give story after story tonight. But when I trust the Lord, I look back and I say, why did I ever even think of doubting him? But that's on this side of the story. You know what I mean? Faith would not be faith if I could see how it was going to happen. See, faith is doesn't add up. I've used the illustration starting our church, and the finances did not add up that we should be able to do this. And yet, 6 months later, when I looked in my checkbook, and I started the church, paid the bills, the offerings weren't that much at all. I had more money 6 months later. It does not make sense. Why did I doubt God? Why was I hesitant? If God had called me to do it, why did I even hesitate? And Christians, this is a huge thing, to have absolute faith. And when I teach on faith, sometimes with the teenagers, I'll do that thing where you have one person stands behind the other person and they say, drop in that person's arms. 90% of the times when that person goes to drop, they have to put one foot back. They don't really quite trust the other person. And I don't blame them, because they're not God. But why do we stick one foot back there when God tells us to do something? So I would just say to us tonight, fully trust. That it's not just trust, fully trust. I can do all things. I will not fear what man will do unto me. In God will I put my trust. I will not be afraid. He's the creator of all. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. Why do I doubt my God? I trust him with my soul, and I can't trust him to pay a bill. What is wrong with me? Would you say that amen to yourself? Okay. I mean, that's, so this is a big step in your life. I wonder tonight, perhaps the Lord has been recently saying, you just need to trust me in something. Why are you hesitating? Learn to step out bigger, bolder, quicker, and all the way, and don't brace yourself. Just trust him, and you'll be in for some neat things. First of all, you'll be in the middle of the will of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And here we want to talk about we need to learn to use our time, our life by faith. Only one life twill, help me, only one life twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I know that's not a scripture verse, but is it a truism that you think you believe? Only what's done for Christ really has eternal value? How are you using up your life? You get to the end of your life and you add up all the years that God gave you. And you know, a lot of people, I'm not talking to this crowd so much tonight, but a lot of people, they end up using a lot of their life on pleasure or working themselves. I mean, they work for Exxon, they work for Shell, they work, you fill in the big corporations. They work 70, 80, 90 hours and do nothing, hardly anything for the eternal. Listen, Christians, you need to stop and get a hold of your life. I have little things that come in my email, I suspect some of you do as well, that sort of talk about life and improving your life and stuff. And one of the things that I read routinely, and I think there's truth, it's not scripture once again, but I think there's truth in it. You need to wake up and realize that you run your life, life doesn't run you. Your boss doesn't run your life. I mean, we just, next thing we know, somebody else has used up my life. And I never stopped and used it wisely. Often, you find some people, a little different category, those that somebody uses up their life, some people, life just gets away from them and they never get anything done. There's no goal setting. They're not trusting God. They're not asking God, what is your will? And we know in the book of James, it says, when I get up in the morning and the one that is wicked says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, the Lord says, that's all such boasting is wicked. Instead, what should we say? Lord, what do you want me to do with my time today? You know, you can't re-spend time. I'm getting older, and I like to joke with the teenagers at school. And I say, hey, my birthday's coming up, and your birthday's coming up. How about if we switch places, and I'll take your age, and you take mine? They go, no! They do that more and more, like really big now, okay? Because they want to use their life. Good for that's good. I mean, I use mine. But you get to the end of your life, and you stand before God, and God gave you so many minutes and so many days and so many hours and so many months and so many weeks and years, and they add it up, and you hear all of a sudden you've got 40, 50, 60, whatever years you have. And God said, what'd you do with it? How did you invest it? And it's not much different than the guy with the talents. And when the master came back, and one had 10 and one had 5 and one had 1, remember? And do you remember the 10 and the 5 had different amounts, but the guy with the 1, what was his excuse? He buried it in the ground. He just never stepped out. He never trusted. He never invested his life by faith. Make your life count for Jesus. Get a hold of your life. Direct it for God. Lay it on the altar. Put your ears up and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And it makes a big difference. You know, in the last years of my life, I've had a lot of physical needs, and God's really helped me a lot. And one of the things that I tell you, I sense a lot. I wonder why older people get up early. I tell you, I used to think it's just because something changed in their mechanics in their body. I can tell you why, because they realize they want to use every minute. And you can't sleep your life away. Sleep your Saturdays away. Staying up watching movies and TV to 2 in the morning, playing Xbox, and next thing you know, it's all gone. Years ago, God convicted me big time. My dad was still alive, and I went home to visit. My mom had passed away. I was staying with my dad, and my wife was with us. And I don't usually get to stay up late much, so I stayed up and watched some silly thing on TV. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was just sitting there, just sort of relaxing. And my dad woke up, my unsaved father. And he came out and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching TV." He said, "Why are you wasting your time?" I said, "Okay, I'm 40-some years old. I don't waste my time." No, I didn't say that, okay. It's my life, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I thought in my heart. And my dad was going to the bathroom. Pretty soon he came back and went back through the living room. And he said, "You won't even remember that show in the morning." And I said, "I'll show him." So the next morning when I crawled out of bed at 10:30, you know, because I was up to like 3, you know, so I got up and I didn't feel very good because I was out of routine. And my dad said, "What was the show about?" I hate it when they're right. Oh. I had not used my time very wisely. And God used that in my life to really make me realize sometimes, let's just use the television. A show grabs a hold of me, and I stay up 2 hours longer than I intended. I was going to bed at a good, decent time, and now I'm going to bed 11:30, midnight, because it ran me. Have you been there? Come on. Yeah, that's just a small little example. Life is full of those examples. Life runs us. Invest your life by faith. Trust God. Set some goals. Get with God. Ask Him, "What do you want me to do with my life?" It only comes around once. Invest it. And what can your life be? What can your life be? There's so many examples I would use, but 1 Corinthians 15 says this: "Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain." I've reversed the verse. We always abound in the work of God. That doesn't mean you're always just running down the church. That means I'm focused on God's will. I'm focused on what God's will is with my time and my life. By faith, find God's will and pursue it with all your heart. Turn over, please, to Acts chapter 5. We'll go to another area. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 29. Acts 5, and we're in the 29th verse, please. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" So here's our third thing by faith. We talked about fully trusting God, but this is a little different. Fully obeying God. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. We all know that when we're talking to our kids, right? Obey God fully in your life. Trust the Lord and obey the Lord. Have an obedient attitude. We ought to obey God. Who are you obeying? Are you obeying, you know, teenagers, don't you use this against your parents, but are you letting a human being get you away from following God? We have to obey God. In the context we have here, these people were told to preach, and they were told to stop preaching, and they say, "Well, I don't know how you're going to judge it, but for us, I can but obey God." We need to obey God even when we can't figure out the consequences are so easy. Learn to obey God. Just trust God in your obedience. In John chapter 14, verse 20 there says, "If you love Jesus, you'll keep his words." Just learn to obey him. I find over the years as a pastor It's not what we don't know that gets most Christians in trouble. That can, ignorance is no excuse. But you know what gets most Christians in trouble? They clearly know and don't, for whatever reason, do what they clearly know was right. I know God said to do it. What's the first big step after getting saved for a Christian? Baptism. Do you know how many people it takes 10 years? That should take like 1 second, right? But it takes weeks, months, years. Hey, can I pick on you tonight? Are you here and not baptized? Why? We had a young man that praised the Lord. He got baptized. He told us why for him. It was just fear. Fear of water, maybe fear of being around people. A fear had gotten a hold of him. Praise the Lord, he decided to obey God rather than his fear. And that's just a case study for all of us on some areas of our life. Learn to obey the clear, revealed will of God in your life and Scripture. I have a feeling that in the next years in America, things seem to keep going like they're going to. We're going to come face to face with a society that says what the Bible says is wicked. And if we're going to stand up with the Bible, then we're going to be painted as really weird, perverted, you fill in all the blanks. Homosexuality. There's no doubt what the Bible clearly says on that subject. What would a church do if they're going to lose their tax exemption or just stop preaching against, you know, homosexual? What, is there any doubt in our mind what we would do? Keep your tax exemption. God will take care of us. Do you know there are already a lot of organizations that have compromised on that very issue because it's already a big push and shove issue? And you say, well, would never happen to me. You just haven't found the right issue yet. Haven't found the right pressure point in your life. So we got to learn to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go, if you will, please, to Proverbs chapter 28. We'll take one more because life flows fast. Proverbs 28. It seems like we keep coming back to this past 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know why. I'm not seeking to bang away at this, but this is something we've got to deal with by faith. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Proverbs 28, 13, go. He that covereth his sins, but whoso... He that covereth his sins. Can I say to the group tonight, you've got to learn to overcome sin in your life. Sin can be overcome. There is no sin that cannot be overcome. Have you made an excuse for your sin? I was brought up that way. It's genetic. It's my environment. Everybody else was doing it. Those are all pretty thin. Would you not agree? Yeah. And yet we fall back on very similar things in our life. Somebody's got a phone call. Okay, all right. So maybe the Lord rung somebody's bell tonight. I don't know. Okay. Forsaking sin. I do not doubt this in my mind. When you have a group this size, there is probably more than one person fighting a sin that you've been convicted on for quite a period of time, church service after church service, situation after situation. You feel trapped, you feel tied, you feel like you'll never overcome it. You made an attempt and didn't overcome it. You feel like that sin will never leave your life. By faith, you need to get rid of that sin in your life. I'll give one illustration and I will close because I want us to have a good prayer time tonight. Years and years ago, I heard the illustration evangelist D.L. Moody had a lady that came to him after a church evangelistic service, said, Mr. Moody, she said, I'm really having trouble with exaggerating and lying. I don't know why I do it. She said, I'd get talking to people, and instead of saying, the thing was this big, I just have to say it was this big. And instead of saying I had two, I say I had four. I lie. I just do that, and I can't stop it. I've been to the altar several nights. I can't stop it. Is there anything I can do to stop it? He said, ma'am, there's always a way to stop any sin by faith. She said, I can't stop it. And she went away, and she came back the next night. She said, I exaggerated again. I can't stop it. He said, do you really want to stop it? I'll do anything to stop sin in my life. She said, okay, I'll give you a plan. I promise you you'll do it. I'll do anything. The next time that you talk to somebody and you know that you've lied right there, you've exaggerated, as soon as you realize what you've done, I want you to stop and say to that person, excuse me, I just lied to you. See, I couldn't do that. Then you'll not stop your sin. That's the truth. You know, Christians, we say that sin can't stop. Yes, it can. Sin can. The Lord can help us. If he tells us to forsake it, we can forsake it by faith. There is no sin that you cannot overcome in your life. Do you believe what I'm just preached? And yet, we all know there's times that maybe something creeps up on us and maybe we buy into, maybe this can't be overcome in my life. I'm here to tell you, by faith, you need to learn to overcome sin. And tonight, if that's true of you, you just haven't got serious with God about that thing yet. Because you can't if God tells you to do it. All right, so let's take back where we started. We're going to grow in the Lord. Then it's going to take faith. And so we start walking down the areas of our life, and we've walked through four areas tonight. We need to fully trust God. We need to obey God. We need to forsake known sin. And what's our fourth one? You need to use your time. Fully use your time for God. Christians, if we would start doing this, our lives would start having amazing impact. There would be peace. There would be joy. There would be growth. And that's the subject of this whole lesson, and we'll probably go on again next Wednesday night to finish this up. But the title of the message that I've written down is The Growth Ethics and the Growth Techniques of a Serious Christian. If I really want to grow, I will grow. So I challenge you. Let's by faith overcome, invest our life, obey God. And ask him to help us tonight. Let's bow our heads, please. Before I pray out loud, I wonder if there's someone tonight and you say, Pastor Butts, as you preach tonight, God very strongly put his finger on an area that I need to step out by faith and get victory in my time, my obedience, my trust, my overcoming some sin in my life. God knows it. I know it. He's put my finger on it. He's put his finger right on it. He put his finger right on it. And Pastor Butts, pray that I will trust God to begin the steps to see this area mature and grow. Pray for me. Is there someone like that tonight? Amen. Amen. Lord, you've seen probably a dozen hands raised. Help us, Lord, all of us, but especially these that have raised their hand, to find that faith, to have that faith, to grow in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.